Derek, you know, 10 games into the season, I feel like we might go a little retro today. We're going to do a little review, but I feel like the old guy inside me might throw a few curveballs at you today that you may or may not get.
Well, those are really the only two options. Either I may or may not.
I mean, when we're looking at things, I mean, one song, only one song can really encapsulate how we feel right now, Derek. That great show from the 80s.
Yeah, I'm really curious because our team is not just American.
We are in America.
Yeah.
And we've had American heroes.
This is true.
Yeah. You want to sing it with me, Derek? Shall we?
No.
Believe it or not, we're 6-3-1, and the Canes are on top of the division. F. Steve Simmons, he's an ass. Who could it be? Believe it or not, it's just the Carolina Hurricanes, Derek.
I like looking at the levels here and seeing that your singing was coming through pretty well on my microphone as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. If you're going to let it go, if you're going to go for it, Derek, go for it. Like the mother Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, no quarter assing involved, man. Last night was great.
So much fun. I mean, this team right now, and I know we talk a lot about fun, and we're going to talk about some of the heat that the Carolina Hurricanes are taking across the good hockey boys. Carolina Hurricanes, 6-3-1, 10 games into the season. And, Derek, maybe the most surprising thing of all, Canes Twitter is fun again.
Well, I think that goes hand in hand with being 6-3-1. I was going to say the most surprising thing is Sebastian Aho in the top 10 in the league in points. Because he was not exactly known as a strong starter to seasons his first 2 years. And this year, it's different and is it nice.
Oh, not only is it different and nice, but it was, Derek, when we came into this season, what would you say were the top three giant question marks around this team?
Goaltending.
That's one, maybe one and two.
Who's going to score?
Okay.
And I mean, I don't know what the third was, because the first two were so beaten into my conscience over the offseason. What's the third, Mike?
Derek, who's going to be the 1C? Do the Carolina Hurricanes obviously do not have a 1C that is capable of delivering any sort of consistency in the National Hockey League. Victor Rask went down, and it was like, damn it. I guess we don't have a choice. I guess we're going to have to play Aho at center. Okay.
Paid off so far, I'd say.
Yeah, so far, so good.
So I was looking at the NHL scoring leaders this morning just for fun times, because I knew Aho had a 10-game point streak
happy
to start
Saturday
the year.
Happy Saturday morning, by the way. We don't drink beer and do podcasts on Saturday mornings that often, but happy Saturday morning.
And to you as
there
well.
You go.
Yeah. So you can tell we, at least I do, have my morning deep voice on.
I like it.
Yeah. By the way, I'll be leading into the quiet storm after this. So looking at the top 10 or top 20 NHL point scorers, Mike, there are 8 teams represented. Sebastian Aho and Connor McDavid are the only two that are not from Colorado, Toronto, Boston, Chicago, Pittsburgh, or Washington.
I mean, that was like 8 other teams, so...
That's 6 other teams that have 18 of the 20.
Oh, 18 of the 20. I
not of the top 10, for, of the top 20.
I was thinking the top... I mean, shout out to the Colorado Nordiques, because they are currently Landeskog... Rantanen currently leading the league in points.
What?
And guy you may have heard of, Nathan MacKinnon, currently the best line in hockey.
That's a good line.
What up, Toronto? Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, and what's the average age on that line? 21?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, Landeskog's a few years older.
Landeskog's 24. He came in, I think, the year after Skinner did.
I mean, just still. I mean, that they're so good. But there's so much good stuff happening in the National Hockey League right now. Thank you guys for jumping on to this week's edition of Cheaters Never Win, where we're going to talk the first 10 games of the season, kind of what surprised us, what's been good, what hasn't been good. We'll talk to Canes. We'll look around the league a little bit, and unfortunately, we don't have a guest because, shockingly, getting guests on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. after there was a World Series game until 3:30 in the morning and a bunch of good hockey last night, a little bit tougher than had anticipated. So tonight on the Dawn from Fathom Realty guest line, it's me.
And me.
There you go. So, guys, thanks. And gals, thanks for always listening. We appreciate it. Derek.
Yeah.
Will you hit that big golden X button over there?
Yeah, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this, the 10 game in edition of the Cheaters Never Win podcast. My name's Mike.
I'm still Derek.
And we're still a part of the Sports Channel 8 podcast family. This episode brought to you by Bottlemix, brought to you by Don from Fathom Realty, brought to you from Caffeine, and brought to you from Beer So Dark No One Could Even See Through It. And Derek, welcome the return of the NHL 94 Brass Bonanza theme.
It's peppy.
It's peppy. We're back, baby. Yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah. We live.
Peter Piper picked a pair of goals last night. Yes, he did. Yeah, baby.
I hate that the first period wasn't as exciting as the second and third, but it was kind of nice to build up to it because we're all going, damn, San Jose's really good. It's a 2-0 game at the end of one. I forget the kid's name, but he had a hell of a goal for his first NHL goal last night.
Yeah, and San Jose had, you know, they had come out a little flat a couple of nights before against Nashville. That was a hell of a game, too. Nashville, by the way, knows how to play the hockeys currently.
Get out of here.
The entire National Hockey League at 8-2-0 through 10. But, yeah, they came back down two goals in the third and just played a great game. And then the Canes flipped the script.
Yes.
I mean, we're so used to, you know, theoretically better teams. We have one of the best defenses in the National Hockey League.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you the team that probably has a better defense than the Carolina Hurricanes, at least on paper, is the San Jose Sharks.
Yep, and coming in, everybody's going, oh, it's the Corsi Cup. It's the two teams that have the best Corsi. What's going to happen? Will it just be all of the shots?
But Dat Fenwick, though.
I say, will it be a 6-5 game? Will it be a 1-0 game that is won in overtime? But the Canes, Mike, at one point in the third, after the first period, the Canes had like 30 of the next 37 shots in the game.
It was joyous to watch. For those of you who may follow us on Twitter, I'm just going to drop the term that my kid dropped on me. Poopy splatters. There was poopy splatters here at the World Wide.
We're bringing this up on the podcast too.
Absolutely.
It wasn't unpopular enough on Twitter. You want to?
People loved it.
Did they?
The dads did. There was lots of dad stuff. Oh, and shout out to Lee Taft, who sent us a DM from 10 years ago of his adorable child cooing and then quite possibly having the biggest fart I've ever heard come out of any size human, much less a human that small.
Carry on.
Derek's like,
I'm not trying to travel down this road.
I'd love. You know who didn't travel down this road, Derek?
Who dat?
The Carolina Hurricanes, because normally 10 games in, this team is a diaper full of shit.
All right.
Way to bring it back around, right?
I think our segues have been sharper in other episodes.
Okay, you go.
No,
go ahead. Fine. Hey, I'm having fun talking about baby poop. Derek doesn't want to do it. So you go ahead. You be the host, and I'll fill in.
Let's do this. Talking about the San Jose game and all the fun things that were there, like Warren Fogle playing hockey like a grown-ass man.
He was not playing shitty. No, go ahead. You be the host. I'm done with this. I'm going to drink.
Okay.
Okay.
I was going to point out Dougie Hamilton.
Did not play like shit last night.
I feel like I could do this with like 16 more players and we could just keep, you know, rattling it off and you could say they did not play like shit last night.
See, Derek, I have a brand. I'm sticking to it. It's what I do.
Good Lord.
When a gimmick may and or may not work, I don't care. I'm bought in.
It's being hammered home. Hey, it worked for Gritty.
It did work for Gritty.
Because I didn't like Gritty at first and then they doubled down on it and I went, all right, well played.
I like Gritty. That game last night, as I sat at home and watched it, I felt like I was watching it. I'm almost glad I was home. I hated that I missed the atmosphere in the arena, but some of the small plays that I was able to watch on replay that happened by Warren Fogle, Brock McGinn, Jacob Slavin, Dougie Hamilton, there was up and down crispness by both of those teams, particularly in the second period, where I was like, oh my God, this feels like playoff hockey. There was this level that was above and beyond what we have seen in the PNC Arena for quite some time. And it was, you know, every time Brent Burns is shooting that snap wrister, I'm, you know, my glutes got much tighter last night. Let's just say that.
So you mentioned Slavin. There was a, and you probably got to see a replay of it, the way he shut down a 2-on-1 in the third period was fantastic. He played it well, unlike previous Canes iterations that we had seen, where it's like, hey, I'm just going to kind of not commit to either the passer or the shooter. Or the recipient or the shooter. And that was awful. Ah, damn, there's someone else. Brent Burns' shot. Very good shot. Dougie Hamilton, though, has a shot as well. Like, not only his goal, which was deflected by a shark, but his wrist shot has a lot of weight behind it.
It does. And, you know, one of the things, as the wife and I were talking about the game as we were watching it last night, I don't know if it's the fact of, because Dougie Hamilton is a former Western Conference player, and maybe he has a little bit better familiarity with this San Jose Sharks team. This was far and away, at least from my viewing position, Dougie Hamilton's most impactful game as a Carolina Hurricane. I don't know if it was his best game defensively, but I guarantee you it was his most impactful game, both during the game and after.
Oh, that was beautiful, because at first it took me a minute. You know, they announce the three stars, and everybody comes out, and they do their little wave, and maybe they'll toss a puck to a kid in the stands that hopefully a grown man doesn't intercept. But Dougie came out, he did a salute to the crowd, and then just started flossing for like 2 seconds. It was amazing.
And maybe even more amazing, Derek, is as I was sitting here watching at home, watching Trip Tracy trying to decipher what was going on. Because at first he referred to it as a jig, and then he realized it was floss, and then he tried to point out like the only floss I know is flossing my teeth, and he may have I believe the word is gesticulated. Yes. Instead of using like two fingers, he used one with like what floss would be, and it was his middle finger. So basically, living in infamy now is the screen grab of Trip Tracy flipping off the world.
Gotta love it.
Which made last night's game that much more enjoyable, Derek.
So real quick, and I probably shouldn't throw out marketing ideas like this, but this was a freebie. Local brewery should have a video game night or a video game tournament that lasts 2 weeks. Hear me out on this, Mike.
Okay.
A Fortnite at Fortnite.
Ooh. So a Fortnite.
Yes.
Of Fortnite.
Yes.
At Fortnite? So
correct.
Are we doing it in the Epic Games parking lot?
No, it's at Fortnite.
Oh, you're talking about Fortnite Brewing.
Yeah.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah.
So basically like a lock-in
for 2 weeks. I mean, it doesn't have to be a lock-in because people might need to see their families or go to work.
No. If it's a Fortnite at Fortnite at Fortnite.
But maybe it could be whoever accumulates the most points in that two-week span. I don't know. But if anybody does this, money, please.
Yeah, I mean, I do know that there are potentially a couple of folks who work at Epic Games who may listen to this podcast. You know, maybe the folks at Epic Games come up with, like, you know, the radio contest used to be where, like, you put your hand on the car, whoever keeps their hand on the car longest wins the car. And it takes, like, 4 days of, like, people just sitting there with their hand on the car.
Yep.
You know, maybe they give away, like, a Fortnite-themed motorcycle or something. Like, something really cool. Maybe a hang glider. I don't know. I don't play Fortnite. But, like, a Fortnite, Derek.
Yeah.
Marketing brilliance.
This is what I do, Mike.
Is it?
On occasion.
Yes, it is.
I get like two good ideas a year. That was one of them. So I hope you're ready for part two at some point.
Yay. I'm somewhat in awe of this team, Derek. We came into this season, and if you go back and you listen, you know, we had positive feelings, right? Preseason gave us a glimpse of what this team, what we thought they could be.
Preseason champs, baby.
Preseason champs. But then Scott Darling goes down. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, oh, man. You know, how's Mrazek going to play? Picked up McElhenney. Again, neither one has won the Vezina. But
That's only because it's handed out later in the year.
Derek, you know what we've received?
What's that?
The one thing we've wanted for the last 9 seasons. NHL average goaltending.
Is it? Has it been average? I genuinely haven't looked at the stats. Has it been average?
I could look at the stats, but I mean, it's close to... I think both guys are above a 900 save percentage.
Yeah. That's easy to look up. I got this.
Yeah, so if you know, quickly, if I'll do a soft shoe here while you're looking that up, but I mean, we have asked for just NHL average goaltending, and while there have been, you know, some defensive letdowns,
got it.
Okay, talk to me.
Peter Mrazek is 3-2-1 with a 267 goals against and an 885 save percentage.
Okay, that's Wardian.
Yeah, Curtis is 3-1-0. With a 276 goals against and an 892 save percentage.
Okay. So
combined, they're averaging, and I know this isn't the way the numbers work, but around an 890.
So maybe even slightly. And again, I mean, Derek, can you get NHL average save percentage right now for me?
No.
Damn it. If only there was an internet to figure that stuff out.
Yeah, that one's a little harder to look up.
Or if we had actually, you know, done show prep.
No.
Yeah. That,
then we wouldn't be being true to ourselves, Mike.
I downloaded the theme to The Greatest American Hero.
See? And that's work.
Yeah, there you go. Production values. I feel like the goaltending has been good. It hasn't been great, but there have been timely saves.
Yes.
Actually, Derek, I know why those numbers are lower than I think they should be.
Me too. Go ahead.
Because not included in that save percentage is Justin Faulk's save percentage.
Mm.
Justin Faulk's save percentage is currently 1,000. Justin Faulk might be the greatest goaltender in Carolina Hurricanes history right
Ooh,
now.
Better goaltender, Justin Faulk or Glenn Wesley?
Justin Faulk, because Glenn Wesley has forsaken us and moved to Utah.
he went from upstate New York to Utah?
Yes.
So here's more of a real hockey reason that I was going to suggest. They talk about how we dominate the Corsis. It is, you know, we have heard from people who know goaltending far better than either of us.
Cat Silverman.
That it is often more challenging for goalies to see fewer pucks than to see more pucks. Case in point, against Detroit on Monday and the Peter Mrazek revenge tour.
Oh, yes.
I think he saw his first shot, I think, and I could be wrong on this, Mike, 46 minutes into the game.
You're close. I mean, okay. it may not have been exactly that, but you were absolutely close.
I mean, I think it was actually 14 and a half minutes into the game before he saw a puck. Well, he probably saw more, but he had to stop a puck. That's usually not a good way for a goalie to get into a rhythm. So if we're dominating the shots on goal the way we are, you know, it goes to say that our save percentage isn't going to be as high, but the goals against is nice. They're both under 3, which is a welcome change. Mike, what you got?
I'm sitting here looking at this, and of the top, so let's just take, there's been, I'm showing 50 NHL goaltenders. Actually, there's 62 NHL goaltenders who have played thus far this year.
Okay.
And if I scroll on down here, currently Curtis McElhinney is 44th in save percentage.
Okay, and he's the better of the two with respect to save percentage.
That is correct. But here's the interesting thing. If I come up to goals against, Curtis McElhinney is 33rd. So not awful. Could be better.
Okay, so we are still getting below league average goaltending.
We are getting below league average goaltending. Derek, what might happen to this Carolina Hurricanes team if we can achieve league average goaltending?
We might, and well, no, we can't. What would it end up being? 78-3-1?
Potentially.
I mean, there's a chance.
There's always a chance.
I think it's not likely, but there's a chance.
Well, and Derek, before we get to forward-looking, let's talk. You mentioned the Peter Mrazek revenge game. And I like, you know, we mentioned Justin Faulk a little bit earlier, and I liked what Justin said after the Detroit game. You know, what was different? You were on a 3-game losing streak. Folks were beginning to, you know, the shine was starting to come off the Carolina Hurricanes. And Justin Faulk said simply, we just got together as a team and said, we're not going to lose 4 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way we're going to allow this losing streak to continue, and it stops here. And
love it.
That's easy to say after you stopped it in one.
Yes.
But also, I don't know if that's the type of thing he said last year necessarily, maybe when he was wearing the C. I think he's in a little bit of a lesser position, and yeah. You know, this leadership group seems to be going really well. I don't know. I just like that idea of like we just came together and we said, no, this isn't happening. We're not gonna let this happen. And they went out in Detroit, not a great team.
Mm-hmm.
At, you know, absolutely rebuilding. But again, some good players out there. Andreas Athanasiou,
bless you,
and Dylan Larkin. So there are some building blocks out there, but Detroit, a team that the Carolina Hurricanes should beat.
Yeah.
But in previous seasons, that's the type of game we go into Detroit and just lay an egg because Detroit has owned us in the Motor City.
It was incredible to watch, and I asked in the 328 Slack about, hey, what was so different about this Detroit game? It kind of had some of those hallmarks of the coach telling the guys, hey, you've got 3 days off or without a game after this. Empty the tank, because all the guys were just buzzing to the puck, but not over-pursuing, which was so cool to see. Back to your point about Justin Faulk, I don't know how much of the credit for the vibe on this team goes to him, goes to Jordan Staal, goes to Justin Williams, goes to the head coach, or even above, but the vibe around these guys, it feels like they are not weighed down with whatever it was. Like, Justin Faulk seems like a very different person this year than he did last year. It's great to see. Jordan Staal, I mean, he is incredibly steady, but I feel like Justin Williams is doing a great job setting the tone for this team and being a really good public face as well. And that way Faulk and Staal don't have to shoulder that kind of burden, which seemed to weigh on them at times.
Yeah, no, it's... And you mentioned it, Derek. It's kind of interesting. When Justin Williams and the team first broke out the post-game celebration, that there was a couple of media outlets who said, man, this is awful. This feels forced. This feels like something Tom Dundon has forced upon this team. And I don't know how much of Dundon's influence is potentially on that, but Tom Dundon, since the day he arrived in Raleigh, said players are going to be more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
Players are going to be more fan-focused. And players are going to have a little bit of leeway when it comes to their interactions. And you look at some of the things that have happened, right? Bill Peters, world's most Albertan man, very starch, make an F and save. You know, we all know that history. And then yesterday, Scott Darling in his scrum getting asked questions by Chip Alexander from the Raleigh News and Observer. And Dougie Hamilton, did you see this?
I saw of it, but I did not see it.
Dougie Hamilton comes in with a giant umbrella as a microphone and just sticks it in Darling's face as he's talking. And, you know, Darling comes back with, you know, yeah, it was really easy to play down in Utica. It was great. You know, I had better defense. You know, I had better defensemen down there than Dougie, so it was really nice. So, yeah, I mean, just this whole thing that's going on. And then the post-game celebration. I absolutely think it is the culture that Justin Williams and the rest of this team is infusing. I think it's part of what Rod Brendamore is telling him is to go out there and have a little bit of fun. I do want to give just a little stick tap. I don't want to make it be a giant stick tap. I don't want to brown nose the new billionaire owner. But at the same time, there was a precedent set last season that says when you come back, we are going to be more fan focused. It's the fan tunnel. It's the post game celebration. Mm-hmm. It's being out in the community. Heck, when I was at the Canes, at the Canes season ticket member party last week, Brett Pesch asked me. He goes, "So, would you you be interested in going to a good New York deli? Because I'd love to open up a New York deli around here because we don't have a good one." And I was like,
"Did he also follow up with asking you if you like gladiator movies?"
You ever
been to a Turkish prison?
Thanks, Derek. For those of you who get that reference, thank you. For those of you who don't get that reference, go look up that reference and then watch that movie. Yeah, I
can't take a guess for another 2 hours.
I, I'm just looking around and I'm like, this team is fun. The organization is fun. Mm-hmm. It's obvious that they're playing for each other. It's obvious that there are guys who understand their role on this team and are here to help deliver that. And I know we're talking an awful lot of sunshine and we can talk about some of the things that aren't working so well right now. But Derek, yes, sir.
Shouldn't we talk about the good things when we are on top of the Metropolitan Division?
Yes, we should.
Yes, I rest my case. Also, was cool to see last night was, and I don't know if this will continue, but Brock McGinn led the skull clap, led the celebration last night. And maybe it's kind of, you know, Justin Williams or somebody else in that leadership group of the team tabbing someone to lead the celebration after the game. And I liked the twist on it. I loved the going kayaking. I wonder how many different things they have in their arsenal, but damn, it was so great to see that building just going like, hell yeah, we're ready for this skull clap. And I think they were piping in some drum sounds through the PA in the building.
Yeah, they absolutely piping in a little bit of the drums. And, you know, the thing that I saw a couple of Canadian media members that actually came out and said, you know what, I've seen that in Adams before. I've seen it in Mites. But it's so good to see that at the National Hockey League, not only because obviously those guys are having fun and the fans are into it, but imagine now what's going to be happening at the Mite level. How many young kids who are playing Mite hockey and Adam hockey around the United States and around Canada are trying to figure out ways to do celebrations, not just to do celebrations, but they want to do celebrations like the Carolina Hurricanes.
I love it for so many reasons. And yes, they have their haters because there are a lot of people who, Mike, truly hate fun.
You're right.
So, but yeah. But it's just like the majority of people are embracing it for what it is. These are men who are still at the core of everything. They're playing a game. And if you want to get into some of the semantics of things, one of the things I love about these team celebrations is they happen at home. They're not trying to show up an opposing fan base. They're celebrating together and with the fans, and it's just positive. It's not like they're getting in their opponent's face and going, ha ha, bitch.
Yeah.
You know, no, it's a fun celebration. They do it after the other team leaves the ice. It's just fantastic to see. And the amount of tweets and comments and things we hear from other Canes fans, like you noted earlier, how Canes Twitter is a happier place right now. I hope this continues when the team maybe goes on another 3-game losing streak, which I hope doesn't happen. But it's just the vibe around everything is so much more positive. Mike Sundheim had a great tweet this morning about how all the fun and celebrations and goofy videos and all the things we've talked about are genuine this year. And as opposed to last year when coming to the rink on a Saturday between games felt like a grind, he said this year they can't wait to get to the rink on a Saturday.
Yeah. And Derek, not only is it Kane's Twitter, but all of hockey and all of hockeydom is starting to take notice. Some of my favorite people from our favorite podcast, Bygone, MVSW, some of our favorite people like Generation X-Wing and Karen Douglas. I saw both of them last night talking about how all of the hockey boys in Raleigh and the young hockey men in Raleigh are making hockey fun again. And to see folks who obviously know hockey much better than we ever will, they also know fashion better than we ever will, but that's another story for another day, are enjoying what's going on. Yeah. And it's reinvigorating this. You know, I think about, you know, we had a lot of conversations in the offseason. We had some folks who were, you know, loyal to this team and kind of even part of our group that says, you know what, look, I gotta cut it for a little while. I gotta take a break. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm gonna log off Twitter for a month. I'm gonna kind of just step away from not only hockey but my hockey friends because it's just a drain and it's been hard. And to see this level of fun, like last night as you're going into the shootout, you know, I'm sitting there going, we got to win. But there's this tiny little part of me that goes, we got to win so that way we can see what the celly is, right?
That's exactly why I wanted it, because I hadn't been at the previous two home games where they did celebrate like that. And on one hand, I'm going, okay, we got to overtime. We got a point against San Jose. They're in the other conference. It's not a huge deal if we don't get the bonus point. But then I'm sitting here, I'm looking at my Fitbit, which has the heart rate monitor on it. and it's in overtime, and I'm showing it to friends around me. It's like sitting there at a cool like 112.
Nice.
I'm like, I care about a game in late October this much because I'm that excited about it. You know, probably doesn't speak well to my long-term health, but it was so cool to care that much. And man, everybody walking out of the building was having a great time. I gotta say, even though it wasn't our choice for the goal song, the way they've mixed to also alleviate the concerns of us yelling profanity, that building does have a hell of a good time when Petey starts playing.
Yeah, it is the culmination of years of hard work are finally coming to realization. Again, we still have 72 games to go. There's a lot of hockey still to be played. There's a lot of injuries that are going to come and go around the National Hockey League. There may be changing rosters. There's going to be shifting. There may be shifting sands. But as we've always said, where are you at American Thanksgiving? Where are you at Game 10? Where are you at Game 20? Where are you at American Thanksgiving? That's kind of the guidepost. We've mm-hmm. always been, by the time we get back from the State Fair road trip, we've been underwater for the better part. And again, credit to Tom Dundon, who said, I will deal with the logistical nightmare. I will deal with the fans maybe bitching a little bit for having to come in and deal with State Fair traffic. I do not want to send my boys out for 2 weeks. Give them a break. We had that break in there, and while it may not have been the win that we needed, it did give everybody a chance to not have to go out to Colorado and play, and then go to Detroit and play, and then maybe have to go to San Jose and play. We didn't have to deal with that. We didn't have to mm-hmm. deal with that 7-game, 2-5 start to the season after we won the first game against Minnesota. It's just, I don't know, Derek, it's different. And
it really is. And I love it.
Actually, Derek, so before we go and we start kind of our mini 10-game review, let's go to the Don from Fathom Realty guest line.
This is Don Meyer with Fathom Realty, official realtor of Section 328. You can find me at becauseitshome.com. I am as passionate about helping you make your next move as I am about the Carolina Hurricanes. On average, homes sold by my firm sell 78 days quicker than other homes on the MLS, getting money in your pocket sooner. Buyers also get exclusive strategic representation in the seller's market. Contact me at becauseitshome.com to learn more.
And Derek, the offer still stands. If you have just bought a home from Dawn,
mm-hmm.
and you're drinking a bottle mix beer while wearing the Section 328 merch, you have unlocked the grandest of grand Section 328 prizes. We can't tell you what it is yet, but it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so send us proof. We will verify that every item was legally acquired.
Yes, but yeah, no, seriously, thank you to Bottle Mix, and thank you to Dawn. I know, we don't have a guest tonight, so the guest is going to be you and I talking about the 10-game superlatives.
It's really good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad to have you. But no, seriously, if you were looking to buy a home, looking to sell a home, Dawn is amazing. She is at every Carolina Hurricanes game. She is at Kaniac_realtor.
Respect the underscore.
Go hit her up, and even if you just say, man, I wish I knew what my home was worth. Hook up, hit her up, let her give you a little bit of info, and maybe you didn't realize, like, hey, I can upgrade and not really have to do a whole hell of a lot because, my house was worth more than I thought it was. So it's definitely worth a conversation. So please, if you're interested in that type of thing, go check out Dawn. She's awesome. We enjoy her. Derek.
Yes.
What is your biggest disappointment 10 games into this season?
Biggest disappointment. Gosh, that's a good one, because nothing's been all that disappointing. I would say, the more I think about it, I was getting way too granular. Let me back up. Higher level, special teams.
Okay.
They've both been pretty awful. Both the power play has been awful, which I thought was a surprise. I'm disappointed in the fact that Dougie Hamilton hasn't gotten more power play time.
Right.
And I'm disappointed that the penalty kill has given up so many goals this early.
Yeah.
The special teams is my biggest disappointment. What about you?
Yeah, you took mine. I was going to go straight penalty kill. I think if I were to say what was my biggest disappointment, it actually happened preseason. It was Victor Rask. I think Victor Rask was kind of set to be have a re-breakout season. Mm-hmm. I had hope for that. But that said, that disappointment has created room on this roster for guys that we didn't know were going to be on this roster.
So right now, Mike, who's our 3C? Walmark?
Yeah, it's Lucas Walmark.
Yeah, and he's been fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think if you have a guy like Rask who may have, I don't know if upside's the right word because Walmark has a lot of upside, but NHL experience and should play better under a coach who he fits with better, having Rask as your 3C, I think is a very nice thing to have.
And you know, the other place I thought about going, but I think it's too early to use the D word with this guy, is our boy Martin Natchez. Because, again, we had hoped he was going to come in and just take the world by storm. Mm-hmm. And we saw what that did to Elias Lindholm. I'm glad that we did not go the path of hell or high water, let's keep this guy up. Let's continue to grow what is absolutely one of the Canes' most useful assets for the next 5 to 7 years, hopefully. And that's going to be Marty Natchez, who, Derek, I don't know if you know this, the Charlotte Checkers are currently 7-1.
Is that good?
That is of the goods, yes. That is a 14-point. That is a 14 points in 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that is a playoff caliber stretch.
It's good pace.
Yeah, it's good pace. That's the word I was looking for. So Derek,
yes.
What about your superlatives? What do you think? Where do you want to?
Well, let's go to the flip side, Mike.
Okay.
What has been the biggest surprise, but in a positive way?
Biggest surprise in a positive way. Michael Ferland's ability to deliver on a top line.
Yeah.
I knew Michael Ferland was going to be good on and serve a role in a special teams capacity. I did not fathom Realty, what Michael Ferland's impact could be to the tandem of Turbo and Aho. He has been the perfect complement. And I likened it this morning, and I know I'm going to bring up two names that I do not talk positively about. During the lockout shortened season, I believe 5-6 years ago, whenever it was, the best line in the National Hockey League was Eric Staal,
mm-hmm.
Alex Semin,
who?
And Jiří Tlusti. Two guys who were infinitely talented in Semin and Staal. But Jiří Tlusti filled that role. And you know, maybe even go back further to a guy like Eric Cole, who filled a role. Michael Ferland is filling such a role for this team,
mm-hmm.
and doing it with reckless abandon of going to the hard places, of being hard to play against, of being a guy that other teams do not want to take liberties with this team because they know Michael Ferland will crawl over the glass and punch you in your fucking face.
He was one of my options.
Okay.
Another option, Warren Fogel, because I have been so impressed with that kid.
McLovin.
But I'm going to go with Jacob Slavin.
Okay.
And we all talk about how good Jacob Slavin is. We've known it for a while. But here's the thing. Coming into this season, that Dougie Hamilton trade, we asked John Forslund about it. Of Dougie Hamilton is the most talented Hurricanes defenseman since blank. And he went all the way back to Sandis Ozilinch. And that's a long way. But here's the thing. Mike, would you say that Dougie Hamilton's been the best defenseman on the Canes this year?
No.
It's Jacob.
It's Jacob Slavin.
Slavin's been phenomenal. He's had a handful of goal-saving plays. He's been steady. He, oh my God, his work on the penalty kill against Detroit late in that game to put it to bed. He has been so damn good. He's starting to get more national attention, and I love the fact that the guy who we just traded for with the hopes that he's going to be one of the best 15 or so defensemen in the league may not be the best defenseman on this team. So all respect to what Ferland and Fogel have done. By the way, there's a shirt with both of those guys on it that you should probably check out. Go to section328.com and
buy the merch,
check out our pin tweet, all that stuff. Those two guys have been outstanding, but I'm going to go with Jacob Slavin because his game has just taken another step up this year.
So, Derek, as I was looking back, I went back and looked at the 2005-2006 run because that is the season against which all other seasons are compared.
Yes.
We started that season 7-3. Mm-hmm. We are currently 6-3-1, so we are on a very similar pace.
Yep.
But to get close to that, that 7-3, we were in the midst of a 9-game winning streak, where we started out the season 12-3. Carolina Hurricanes have a couple of tough games coming out. So, Derek, after 15 games, looking out to the next 5 games, can the Carolina Hurricanes come within 2 points of that amazing start we had in 2005?
Sure.
That's the correct answer. No need to extrapolate. Yes.
Here's the thing. It doesn't matter who we're playing. We could play 5 garbage teams, and I would still go, you never know in the NHL, because it just takes a couple bounces. We could play, you know, Nashville 5 times in a row and, you know, end up 4-1 in that somehow. So it could happen.
I'm excited to see where this team goes, Derek. We get the Islanders Sunday night or Sunday afternoon. A little bit of a revenge game. You know, speaking of celebrations, probably now the 4th best celebration was when, I can't remember who scored it in overtime for the Islanders, but then just immediately went to the glass and just walked straight, just went full home run walk off. it was a great tack, but I think we owe those guys a little bit of payback for not letting us leave as happy as we wanted to opening night. So, and I think this Carolina Hurricanes team may have found a little bit of their mojo since then. So it's a bit of a yardstick game, I think, because those are the
type... we've dropped 10 goals on the Islanders at home before.
Derek, we also... Would you like to remind the people how that 9-game winning streak in 2005 came to an end?
I mean, no, but I will. It came to a screeching halt thanks to a 9-0 loss to something called the Atlanta Thrashers.
Don Waddell's Atlanta Thrashers.
In... Was it the RBC Center then?
It was the RBC.
Yeah, in the RBC Center. So, yeah, we all got to watch that at home, but I think that season, you know, it turned out all right.
Turned out okay. Derek?
Yeah.
No guest tonight. Little bit shorter of a podcast, so that way the people don't have to listen to an hour and 15 minutes. So if you're using this as part of your workout, now's the time to ramp up your high-intensity portion of the workout because there's only about 10 minutes or so left. Derek?
Yes.
Let's open up the mailbag. Cheat mail. Cheat mail. Got cheat mail. Cheating.
Man, the people that are trying to sing along to this are really screwed up by our lack of a metronome.
Yes.
The first question here comes from Sports Channel 8. Will you fix the games in hand issue?
Derek, I was fortunate enough last week to be on 99.9 The Fan with Hayes and the boys to discuss the issue that is games in hand. And the answer is no. Okay. You know why? Because the games in hand issue can't get fixed until Chicago comes to town. When Chicago comes to town, we can finally take back all of those games that missed Cam Ward's glove hand and return those games in hand back to this club. So I just encourage all of you within the sound of my voice, come to the game. Goalie chant Cam Ward. Let's show him our love. When they do the tribute video, which I'm sure they will do, we will rise, we will clap, and we will cheer, and then we will immediately goalie chant him. He's a great dad.
Yeah. Has a hand in some really tasty wine.
He does. So
that's November 12th, by the way.
Yeah. Get your tickets now. Derek, this one from Caniac176. You may better know him as Dan McLaughlin. At Section 328, are we having fun yet?
If I'm having fun, you damn well know all of us are having fun.
You're damn right. So, Derek, I'm actually going to hit you with maybe a slightly tougher question. One of my favorite cheat mail questions from the last year that was not hand-delivered on a typewritten paper. This one from our buddy Dane. He is at TakeWarning1819. So, we did this last year, and he wants to bring it back as a bit of an annual Halloween tradition here on Cheaters Never Win.
Okay.
Pick a couple of roster players and match them to their Halloween candy, and the same for head coach Rod Brendamore. So, Derek.
All right, I've got one.
Go for it.
Michael Ferland is a frozen Charleston Chew.
Go on.
He is deliciously old school and tough.
Ooh. Well, I like that.
And he might break your teeth.
So, again, yeah, that's somebody else made this suggestion. If I was going to go to head coach to Rod Brendamore, I think that one's pretty easy. He's a jawbreaker.
Well, yeah, I think somebody wrote that, actually.
Yeah, somebody actually. Okay. But again, I mean, that's the only option, right? Because he's harder than any other thing you've ever had.
Phrasing?
No. You covet it because it's one of those things you don't get a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you get it, you're like, is this what I wanted? That's kind of what we got when we hired him. We're like, yeah, he was good. Is this really what? But finally, Derek, once you break through that super hard exterior, what you get, that joy that you get, that sense of relief is so good. I think that's part of the fun we're feeling right now. Do you have one more player?
I was going to say, I mean, just it's kind of an easy one after that picture he took with his new car and his dog that Scott Darling is a box of Red Hots.
the Baker Mayfield commemorative picture with Scott Darling. And I'm trying to think, it would not be appropriate if we didn't drop this out. Jordan Martinook might be candy corn.
Okay.
Because we got it on the cheap.
Okay.
It wasn't something we ever thought we actually wanted. And by itself, probably not that good.
See, I like candy corn, though, by itself.
But when mixed with the appropriate other things in that Brock's thing that you got in the 90s.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Those candy pumpkins and the chocolate candy corn can just die in a grease fire.
When you mix it up together.
No.
Sometimes the sum of the parts are greater than the individual.
I could not disagree more. The candy corn is a star of that show. The chocolate ones and the pumpkins can burn in hell.
Okay. What else you got for me, Derek?
From our friend Al Hood. Hope Al is feeling much better. That he pointed out, Sarah Sivian had the scoop that Kyle Dubas was in the building last night. So, if the Canes are talking about Nylander, A, do we want him? B, what is the most you'd want to see the Canes give up?
Yes, we want him. Only if it is a sign and trade agreement, because we do not want to trade for him and then have struggles signing him.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm willing to give up Brett Pesce. Mm-hmm. Brett Pesce is really, really good. Brett Pesce is also our third pairing defenseman. Hayden Fleury is playing very well. I do not know if Hayden Fleury is as good as Brett Pesce is or will ever be. But I guarantee you what, Hayden Fleury is a first-round draft pick, and I'm willing to take a chance on Hayden Fleury to get the talent that is Willie Nylander.
Okay, here's my answer. I like the idea of William Nylander a whole hell of a lot. We would have to give back Brett Pesce likely plus in terms of salary because Nylander wants, I'm guessing, north of $7 million. He's going to get that. Aho is going to get north of $7 million. Turbo is going to get north of $7 million. That's going to put us right up against the cap right there. And then thinking of a couple years down the road, you got to re-sign 88 and 37. It's going to be an issue if we get a guy like Nylander with the other young guys that we have to sign. So, yes, I'm open to the idea of it, but it's gotta work out because I don't want to see us getting in a situation like Chicago did where they have to start pawning off their good pieces just so they can stay under the cap because they have a couple really, or three really highly paid individuals.
Derek, I'll flip that around on you. I look to what Nashville did with the Seth Jones for Ryan Johansson trade. Very similar situation with they've got to re-sign Philip Forsberg. They've got to re-sign Yossi. They've got to re-sign Ryan Ellis. They've pulled it together there.
Mm-hmm.
They've made it happen. I have faith in the entire GM Voltron that they could make this happen. I'm a fan with it. Derek, I'm going to go to let's go to T. Nick Bailey.
Okay.
He is Nick Bailey. You know, I don't know what the T stands for.
The
Nick Bailey, maybe?
I don't know.
It's an F. Mary Kill.
Okay. I like these.
F. Mary Kill. The Hamilton trade. The Skinner trade.
Mm-hmm.
Nylander trade.
This one's actually really easy for me, Mike. I'm killing the Nylander trade because what we just talked about. I'm marrying the Hamilton trade because it also brought us Ferland. And rumor is Adam Fox might have a future ahead of him. And so I'm just going to F the Skinner trade because, eh.
Upon further review, that I mean, I may marry the Skinner trade because there's part of me that feels like that may have been addition by subtraction for this team.
Okay. I'm open to that argument.
And if it opened up roster positions for guys like Fogle to come in here and do some of what they're doing, it gave some breathing room for Svetch and guys like that. So I am having sweet. I'm whispering all of the flossing nothings to Dougie Hamilton at the museum, which I guess means I've got to kill the Nylander trade, which doesn't, you know, which hurts me, but doesn't hurt me, I guess. Maybe? I don't know.
All right, Mike.
Way to go, Nick.
I got an F, Mary, kill for you that I think is going to be more challenging. This is from Michael Mosher. Hope I'm pronouncing his last name correctly. F, Mary, kill. Aho's point streak. Canes atop the Metro. Sweet, delicious corn dog nuggets.
I hate you, Michael. I hate you so much. I am marrying Canes number one in the Metro because I want that to be here forever. I mean, that's the that's the easiest choice. I am going to F corn dog nuggets because while I can't eat them every day, having them in my mouth on the regular is so good. And then I'm going to kill Aho's point streak because all good things must come to an end. And all that is just one game where he gets stymied and everybody else scores 5 or 6 points. And then he could just start another one. So streaks are things that starts and stop. And I'm okay with killing a point streak.
Also, he could score 4 points every other game.
Exactly.
And lead the league in points. So
we'd still not be on a point streak.
I am surprised that I came to the same conclusion as you, but you got it exactly right.
Derek, this one is going to be the last one from this, Mike. This one from at Crash Rossi. He is Bob Rossi. We've seen jumping into the boards, and we've seen the kayaking. What should the Hurricanes create for their next post-game victory celebration?
That's a good one. I like that. I like that question.
It's a good question.
I'm trying to think of other good hockey celebrations. I kind of would love it if they all started at maybe one of the goal lines. Got a good running start, and just like did that one knee slide, but like a bow and arrow.
Okay,
I don't know. Just I'm trying to think of something that's really different. Yeah, I think of all the different celebrations in NHL 19. Like I love the trombone. I love Kuznetsov's eagle. Like that's a lot of fun, but that's his thing. He's got that lockdown. I'm trying to think of anything else, but I'm really struggling. I kind of want to just see where it goes. Mike, do you have anything in mind?
I do, and I'm going to go. This is not happening, and this would never work. But I'm thinking about fun, near childish kid stuff.
Okay.
So, again, I think every celebration has to start with all of them lined up doing the skull clap. Because it's a surprise where they go from there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe what they do is they start the skull clap and then they take like two steps, but then immediately form a circle and patty cake. Can you imagine what hockey Twitter would do if like you've got Ferland in the center leading the skull clap, right? And then he goes, come on, and then all the guys just kind of circle up, sit down, and just start patty caking and Ferland's in the center.
Is there a way they could double Dutch on ice?
That's it. That is it. No, that's the answer, Derek. I thought it was.
And they're
it was
like the rest of the team's all leaning in and doing some kind of clapping routine with
it. Just fake double Dutch.
Oh my God. Okay, there it is.
That's it.
That's what we want,
Derek. We can go no better than that.
No further questions, Your Honor.
No further questions. Let's go to this week's Bottle Mix beer review. You have the official Section 328 beer of the week to talk about.
I do.
I've got a little something special over here in my glass as well.
So I don't know when this podcast is going to be published live. Maybe this is something we should have talked about off air, Mike. But if you're listening to this and it happens to be on Saturday the 27th, Bottle Mix is having their 6th anniversary. If you're listening to it later, hey, this past Saturday, Bottle Mix had their 6th anniversary. Pretty amazing that they've been open for 6 years. Much respect to them. Tip of the cap. Congratulations. All that good stuff. But they're going to have great events going on all weekends. They've got wine tastings and beer tastings coming up. Go to bottlemix.com. Check out their schedule of events. Or stop in off Creedmoor Road. They're a mile south of 540. There's a big chalkboard at the back. Tells you about all their events. And while you're looking at those events, buy some beer. I bought a beer this week. And I talked with Bruce. I'm like, man, what? We're getting a little cooler. What should I drink this week? He said, hey, we just got 10 cases of Stone Chocovesa in cans. I said, sold. This is the shortest conversation we've ever had about what I should review on the podcast. Because I've had Stone Chocovesa before. I absolutely love it. Maybe I reviewed it on this podcast a couple years ago. But you should hear about this beer again. Because now it's in cans. And that makes it more portable. which is fantastic. So the Stone Show Cerveza is a stout that is inspired by Mexican hot chocolate.
I do love a good Mexican hot
chocolate.
Yeah,
so what that means is that this beer is brewed with coffee, pasilla peppers, vanilla, cinnamon, nutmeg, and a generous amount of their house-made chocolate. It is so damn good. It is rich. It's not incredibly heavy, but there is a lot of cocoa and coffee and a little bit of heat from those peppers that comes through so nicely, and it's just accented by the vanilla and the cinnamon. It's something that I, like, yesterday's weather was phenomenal for this. Some cool evenings. Maybe, you know, you want to slip one in a koozie while you're walking around with the kids trick-or-treating on Halloween.
Ooh.
That'd be a real nice choice on a brisk evening. Just saying. I think it's around, like, $2 to $3 per can. I didn't really pay attention because I didn't care because I love the beer so much. And I know it's not that expensive. It's 8% alcohol. It does passed the light test pretty well. There's a little lightning around the edges of it, but it's a fantastic beer. I look forward to this one every single year. So go in to Bottle Mix, tell Bruce, tell any other folks that are there, hey, I heard about Stone Show Cerveza, or just say, I want the Section 328 beer of the week, and they will happily hook you up with at least one of them.
And Derek, while this is, well, what's in my glass is not the beer of the week, it's getting to my favorite beer time of the year. And you were kind enough to say, hey, Mike, I'm going to bring you a little something different. And Derek, this is also available at Bottle Mix. It is not the Section 328 beer of the week, but you can find it over, I believe if you go into the store, go to the back right corner, that's where they kind of keep all of the stouts, and you'll find that over there. This is New Holland Brewing Dragon's Milk.
I've heard you like Dragon's Milk.
A lot of people have had this. It's a fairly, year-round beer. You can get it. If you like a stout, it's a good lactose stout. But, Derek, this was the Dragon's Milk Reserve.
Okay.
This is the Dragon's Milk Reserve Bourbon Barrel Aged Stout with real banana and coconut.
So
this is a banana coconut imperial stout coming in at 11%.
And you did say we're recording this podcast in the morning.
Before noon, yes. Derek, if I hold this glass up, does the room get a little darker?
It does.
Yes, yeah. Because it sucks a little bit of the light out of the room. The mouthfeel. No one likes mouthfeel, but we're going to talk about
That's a damn lie. I enjoy talking about that part of it because it's the most underrated aspect of beverages.
It is not thin. At 11%, it's got a little bite. And I think you and I said, this is not an everyday stout. This is it, but it's not sweet. I've drank a lot of cloyingly sweet, you know, peanut butter stouts and things like that. The banana is forward and lingers, but it's not fake. It's actual natural banana. But it gives it almost a banana bread type of consistency. It almost reminds me a little bit of, like, I want to drink this beer after I've had a nice creme brulee. Mm-hmm. It's got enough bitter to it, and it's dry enough, and it's alcohol forward enough that it's got a little bit of that bite, but that little bit of linger there is so nice. You know what this beer would go perfect with? And I'm going to, somebody who's not a sponsor of this podcast, at 1.5 Star, which is a nice little Asian restaurant downtown, had a ginger creme brulee.
Ooh.
If you had their ginger creme brulee and then maybe had this afterwards, like on your patio around the fire, that would be like the perfect end to an amazing night.
So the way I described that beer is it's like if a pina colada, a bananas foster, an espresso, and a waft of bourbon all played a game of grab ass.
Yeah. Yeah. And came together, made a baby, and Bob had a baby.
It's a boy.
And it's delicious.
Hey, who was that called?
I don't know.
It was Bob. Oh. He had a baby. It's a boy.
Derek, it's been a fun episode.
Shout out to old 1-800-COLLECT commercials.
Canes,
I'm
going to
go watch
fun.
An episode of WCW Nitro from 1997.
Hey, and you can see Jason Shia doing the 1-900 commercials.
Holla.
Guys, thanks, and gals, thanks for listening. We do appreciate it. We'll be back in our seats tomorrow night as the Carolina Hurricanes take on the New York Long Islanders. Tuesday, big game. Boston Bruins coming to town. One of the better teams in the Atlantic. Again, another measuring stick game. So hopefully the Canes come out, deliver. The only way to know is if you come in the building, CarolinaHurricanes.com. Go get your tickets there. Really cool things happening inside the arena. in-game presentation, I feel like, is improving. Friday Night Lights is now a thing, so $5 aluminum cans of Bud Light every Friday night. I like good beer, but I also don't hate $5 beers in the stadium. So, thanks everybody for listening. If you guys do come to the game, if we're not tailgating out in the east lot, make your way up the stairs, come over to Section 328, come find the two of us on Row C. We love to meet you guys. Great talking to a lot of folks out at the season ticket member event, but really appreciate everybody listening. Appreciate all of our folks who are Patreons, who are getting all those fat rewards, including shirts and stickers and all of that other stuff.
New batch going out next week.
There you go. Patreon.com/Section 328 if you want to support the podcast and get a few t-shirt rewards. If you don't want to support the podcast, hey, that's cool too, but if you're buying stuff this holiday over on Amazon, maybe go over to Section 328 28.com, click on the buy on Amazon button, and the folks at Amazon will throw a few pennies our way for being one of the referrals. So we appreciate it. I appreciate you, Derek.
I appreciate you as well, Mike.
This was fun.
Thanks for being the guest tonight.
We should drink before noon more often.
Sold.
Let's do that in May, right before a hockey game.
Yeah, buddy.
Till then, my name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
We're out of here.
Yeah.